Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. Thousands of pro-Israel advocates are gathering in Washington, D.C. for an annual conference beginning today. Vice President Joe Biden is scheduled to speak this evening. As NPR's Sarah McCammon reports, several presidential hopefuls will address the group this week.
The American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, or AIPAC, will host members of Congress and other national leaders over the next 3 days. Much of the attention will be focused on presidential hopefuls speaking tomorrow, including Republican frontrunner Donald Trump. He was booed at a gathering of Jewish Republicans late last year after he wavered on whether the U.S. should recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Also on tomorrow's agenda are Trump's rivals, Texas Senator Ted Cruz and Ohio Governor John Kasich, and Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton. The only Jewish presidential candidate won't be at AIPAC. In a statement, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders says he regrets that he is unable to attend, but, quote, issues impacting Israel and the Middle East are of the utmost importance to me. Sarah McCammon, NPR News, Washington.
The Belgian government says it had proof the man just arrested on terror charges, Salah Abdeslam, planned more attacks beyond the November 13th attacks in Paris, in which he's accused of participating. Terry Schultz reports that France has now tightened its borders with Belgium.
A French prosecutor has revealed that alleged Paris attacks perpetrator Salah Abdeslam says he was planning to go through with a suicide bombing November 13th, but changed his mind and came back to Brussels instead. Now Abdeslam's lawyer says he'll take legal action against that French official for breaching the confidentiality of the investigation. Abdeslam hid for 126 days before being arrested Friday. But Belgian Foreign Minister Didier Reynders says authorities are certain he was plotting more attacks.
He was ready to restart something from Brussels. We have found a lot of heavy weapons, and we have seen a new network of people around him.
As a result of Abdeslam's arrest and on the advice of Interpol, France has tightened its border with Belgium in case terror suspects try to flee. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
Starting today, many new migrants from Turkey arriving in Greece are to be sent back to Turkey. Yet to be determined, though, how the migrants will be returned and how to identify levels of need among the refugees. In Eleusina, Greece, Somar Diba, a Syrian refugee, said there was a lot of confusion.
The asylum programs that I am in told us at 10:30 at night that we should go to the Athens before the ferries come to here about 2 hours, just 2 hours.
In return for the agreement about the migrants, the Turkish government has been promised billions in aid to deal with refugees, along with visa concessions for Turks wishing to visit Europe. This is NPR. In the same Charleston church basement where 9 black parishioners were murdered last June, a group of congressmen ended their civil rights tour of South Carolina. From South Carolina Public Radio, Alexandra Olgan reports.
5 Democratic and Republican congressmen spoke about the power of forgiveness in improving race relations at the Emanuel AME Church. Self-avowed white supremacist Dylan Roof is accused of killing 9 churchgoers there. Longtime civil rights activist and Georgia Representative John Lewis.
The Emanuel 9 gave their blood, and maybe, just maybe, and I believe it's more than maybe, their blood in this building, in this holy place, will help redeem the soul of America and maybe the world.
The congressman spent 3 days traveling to historic civil rights sites in South Carolina. For NPR News, I'm Alexandra Olgan in Charleston.
President Obama and his family will stay at the stately Chief of Missions residence while they're in Cuba. For future visitors to Cuba, however, online lodging service Airbnb announced today it is open for business in Cuba. The company says the Obama administration has granted it a special authorization. Airbnb handles online listings, bookings, and payments for people looking to stay in private homes instead of hotels. Nearly 4,000 homes in Cuba have been added to the Airbnb inventory. Meanwhile, Starwood Hotels has announced that it has signed a deal to run 3 Cuban hotels, becoming the first U.S. hotel company in Cuba since 1959. I'm Luis Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.